Okay, and the study, the tape, for the study number is 137. And what we had started out with is wisdom and dealing also with the Workman's Interlinear of Jack and Mel Everly. And this, going into the fourth chapter of 1 Timothy, we ended that third chapter with about a 5 or 6 time study in one verse there about great is the mystery of godliness. And so when we, as we look and understand, then we can go back and look, starting with chapter 4, verse 1. 1 through 5 then gives us the mystery of iniquity. So the mystery, we ended the third chapter with the mystery of godliness. Great is the mystery of godliness. And then God gives us through the Apostle Paul, gives to Timothy here these 5 verses of Scripture that we finished 4 verses in the 2 studies since we started the 4th chapter. But we're going to start with verse 5 tonight in 1 Timothy 4, verse 5. So the first 5 verses deals with the things that Satan has caused people to, some has even turned down this mystery tooth for the lies of Satan. And so Paul is telling Timothy here, young Timothy, to take this in and watch it. And then verse 6 through 12 kind of deals with the good side of the first 5 verses that we're going to conclude with or start with tonight. And that would conclude the iniquity part of it. And it would deal with the part that the people that teach this mystery truth should know to buffer that iniquity against what they have already heard about the godliness of this and how God expects it to be done and to be carried on. So this is what we're dealing with as we go through this, because the epistle was written basically to Timothy, but it's for us and it's for this age. And no doubt about that. And so I thought I'd bring that back up again, because it's important that we remember that Paul understands that he's not going to be here very long, and he was going to hand this off to someone that had the ability, and it already had a pretty good base of understanding of what God's plan and purpose really entailed. And but he is bringing all this stuff back to light to Timothy, so he will have his tool bag full when it gets to a point to where he is looking for those that will help him bring this truth forward and carry it on. And certainly now we're set here about 2,000 years later to understand that that's, you know, that it's still going on. It may seem people like it ain't that big a deal or that much, but certainly it is, because this is where the body of Christ gets included here and probably gets filled up to where that when Christ does come back, he will come back with that he needs to start putting all this stuff under his feet. And he certainly needs every person involved that had the Holy Spirit placed inside them to get this understanding. Okay, let's start with it. And we're going to go to 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 5. But I'm going to read 4 back again, because that's what we stopped with last time. It says, "For every creature of God is good, and nothing to be refused if it be received with thanksgiving." Prayer and thanksgiving was part of the antidote that it was started with after we talked about the things that Satan could do to try to get all this turned down. And so verse 5 is our study tonight, and it says, "For it is sanctified by the word of God and prayer." So if what you've been given by God, if it's been made holy through its use, and it's received with thanksgiving, then it becomes something different for us. Becomes something different for mankind. Something that we certainly can use and to put in our toolbox to make it work for us. So it says, and I'll go back and read my notes. It says, "For it is sanctified." And sanctified there in the Strong's in the Greek is number 37. I don't know that I've done one any lower than that since I've been involved with this. And it actually means in a sense it is to make holy, i.e. or to purify and make holy by the word of God and prayer. And what's being sanctified here is the meat, the food, and the things that God has provided for us that we sometimes never really thank him for. And we need to remember that. And we're going to read about this a little bit here, and because I went back and looked at Psalms, and so what Jack wrote, I don't know that he mentioned Psalms 145, but we're going to read a couple of verses in it. But and it says, "For it is sanctified through God's word and intercession." That's how it comes down out of the Koine Greek. It is sanctified through word of God and intercession. I'll get it right in a minute. And so this is the way it comes to us out of the Koine Greek. And so Jack says this in his notes. He says, "The meat and food is sanctified through God's word. His word teaches us the truths that we need to understand in understanding God's will and plan for the ages. The Mosaic law has little reverence for the foods of God's current administration. Further, God, the Son, is the Word and sanctifies our food. Christ intercedes for his body while they are yet on this earth. And so, you know, if you ask God and thank him for food and ask for supplications, then it's, of course, the Son's place to take that and make that holy, because we may ask for something that we don't need or supposed to have. Yeah. But see, that intercession of the Spirit does that work for us that way. So we're going to look at the three or four places here. And like I said, I want to go back to Psalms 145. That's on page, let's see, put that note down there, different. It's on page 860. Go back to Psalms if you've got a companion Bible, and it's Psalms 145, and we're going to look at 15 and 16. And it says this. Let's go back to 14. The Lord upholdeth all that fall, and raises up those that be bowed down. The eyes of all wait upon thee, verse 15, and thou givest them their meat in due season. Thou openest thy hand, and satisfiest the desire of every living thing. And so that's part of the praise that's talking about the praise that's being offered here. So from 16 through verse 20 there, 145, it talks about offering praise to the Lord for that we certainly use and have. Okay. And I thought it'd be a great thing to go back and look at that. Kind of get the feel of what we're talking about here. And, well, Jack did include it in there too. So let's see. Let's go back to, I've got it listed here. Let's go back to Romans. Well, let's go back to Matthew. And look at Matthew 14:19. So we'll just take it as it's listed in the Bible. And without having to go back and forth in our notes, we can do it this way. Matthew 14. And we're going to look, there's verse 18 and 19. And this is when Jesus was feeding the people. So we'll go back to 16. And he said, and this is on page 1341 if you have a companion Bible. They said, but Jesus said unto them, they need not depart, give ye them to eat. And they said unto him, the disciples said unto him, we have here but 5 loaves and 2 fishes. And he said, bring them hither to me. And verse 19 is where we are looking at this. And he commanded the multitude to sit down on the grass. And he took the 5 loaves and the 2 fishes and looked up to heaven. He blessed and brake. And he gave the loaves to his disciples and the disciples to the multitude. And they did all eat and were filled. They took up the fragments that remained, 12 basketfuls. So you see, what God can give, and sometimes what's not asked for, is much more than we could ever imagine. And so that, I thought that was a good one to start off with. Okay, and let's turn the page. That was on page 31. Let's go to page 34 in Matthew 15. We're going to look at Matthew 15, 32. Matthew 15:32 says this, Then Jesus called his disciples unto him and said, I have compassion on the multitude because they continue with me now 3 days and have nothing to eat. And I will not send them away fasting lest they faint on the way. So you see, Jesus was concerned about their well-being, whether they asked for it or not. But they had been with him 3 days, nothing to eat. And so he made arrangements again to bless and fix the stuff for the multitude to eat. So that's another picture of his graciousness and love. That he's thinking about these that were with him and listening to what he was saying. Because there was lots of times he would go to places and they would shun him. They would send him away and wouldn't listen to what he had to say. And I think we've mentioned it before. All these places where they sent him away and wouldn't hear him, you can't find those places on the map anymore. If it wasn't worth it then, it certainly ain't worth it in latter days. Okay, now. So that's another truth that needs to be remembered. He even tells us in this day, if you sit down with them and they listen for a little while, and then you don't see any movement going on within the way that the Lord would have it to be, he said, move on. You need to move on somewhere else. Because he knew his ministry, the Lord knew his ministry was going to be short. Because he knew what he had to do. And I'm not knowing whether he knew the day or not, but he knew it wasn't all that long. Okay, so that was in Matthew. Turn with me to Acts 27. To Acts 27. Let's get by John. And I've got a pretty good bunch of places marked in my Bible for the next study or two. Acts 27:35, 1656, What did I say? Acts 27:35. Yeah. Well, let's go back to 33. And it said, while the day was coming on, Acts 27:33. Paul besought them all to take meat, saying, this day is the 14th day that ye have tarried and continued fasting, and half taking nothing. So we went from Matthew with 3 days now with Paul for the 14th day. So this fast was a pretty long one. It's not 40.
It was on a ship that was about to sink.
Yeah, it's not the 40 days that some of them fasted, but, and so this is the 14th day. That's 2 weeks. Wherefore, I pray you take some meat for this is for your health. For they shall not a hair fall from the head of any of you. And when he had thus spoken, he took bread, gave thanks to God in the presence of them all. And when he had broken it, he began to eat. Then were they all of good cheer, and they also took some meat. And we were in all in the ship 216 souls. And when they had eaten, they lightened the ship and cast out the wheat into the sea. Now this was when Paul was going to Rome and got caught in the storm in the sea, you know. And they lost the ship, but they didn't lose anybody. And they said they didn't lose a hair on any of them's head. So, and he gives the number there is quite a big bunch in a vessel that wasn't really made, I don't guess, for that many people. Because it was carrying wheat and stuff for, food. It was a food ship.
I think they just kind of bought passage on cargo ships anyway.
Commandeered it, yeah, or something. Because, see, Paul was under, he was being sent there because he had appealed to Caesar in that situation. So, Paul was concerned about these folks and being on a stormy ship for 14 days. I guess I couldn't have eaten anything, I don't imagine. Because I've been out there just a short time and got really sick. Okay, so that was Acts. And there's one more there that we need to look at before we get into the next verse. And that's Romans 14. So go from Acts to Romans. And go to Romans 14. We're going to look at here. That's on starting on page 1689. And we're going to go from 13 through 17. Romans 14, 13 through 17. It says, let us not therefore judge one another anymore, full stop, but judge this rather. So there's something that doesn't need to be judged, and then there's some that is. That no man put a stumbling block or an occasion to fall in his brother's way. I know and am persuaded by the Lord Jesus that there is nothing unclean of itself, but to him that esteemeth anything to be unclean, to him it is unclean. But if thy brother be grieved with thy meat, now walkest thou not charitably, destroy not him with thy meat for whom Christ died. Let not then your good be evil spoken of. Full stop. For the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. It says, for he that is in these things serveth Christ is acceptable to God and approved of men. And so that ends, that verse ends that first 5 verses talking about the problems And it talks about the difference of the problems, and it talks about praying and giving thanks for the things that God has made available to us. Okay, so now we're getting into verse 6, and 6 through 12 the requirements. Now, we talked about the iniquity part of it. Now we're going to talk about what can be done to make a difference here, the change. And you're going to hear a word in these next few verses. The word is piety, P-I-E-T-Y, P-I-E-T-Y, piety. And that means the things that God has chosen to be holy, and that we need to take thought on these things and take advantage of it, because it carries this thought here that we just read. For the kingdom of God is not meat or drink, but righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. So the Holy Ghost leads, guides, and directs us. That's our GPS. This age, and I think in the latter age, and this is what we got, when God told them in chapter 2 of the book of Acts to stay there until the Comforter comes. And the Comforter did come, and the first job of the Comforter was to interpret what was being said, because the people that he told stay there, they were from every country in the world at that time. And they spoke many different languages, but yet they all heard
in their own tongue
and understood in their own language. There was no unknown tongue there, because the interpreter made sure of that. And so, and that's one of the reasons, because the Holy Spirit went from being upon or with to in mankind. A wonderful, wonderful gift of God that was just presented to him shortly after Christ rose from the grave. Been with him 40 days. He said, I'm going to go, but you stay here till Pentecost. That's 7 more days. And when Pentecost comes, the Comforter will be there. And it did. So much so that the people standing around watching these group of people thought they was drunk in the morning. You know, like, you guys have been drinking all night. No, they just didn't understand what was happening. So here we go. Verse 6 of, let me get back to 1 Timothy 4. I don't have it,
memorized
in memory, but I do have it in Word. Okay. Verse 6 is this in the King James Version. 1 Timothy 4:6. If thou put the brethren, now, in remembrance of these things, thou shalt be a good minister of Jesus Christ, nourished up in the words of faith and of good doctrine whereunto thou hast attained. So Paul is basically carrying what we just read there in Romans to another level. And with this new understanding. So we've talked about the great is the mystery of godliness, and now we're going to be put in remembrance to do the things that will take care of the evil part of this situation. Let me read my notes. And a lot of it itself is kind of you know, it don't change a whole lot. And I'll just read it the way I read it. It says, if thou, yeah, you, Timothy, or yes, you, Timothy, put the brethren in remembrance of these things, and I put, as Christ blessed all his food and the things that he gave, that you shall be a good minister of Christ Jesus, nourished up in the word of faith, the words of faith, and of good doctrine or teaching, whereunto to which thou or you hast attained. So, Timothy had been with Paul a goodly little portion of his ministry, and he also had sent him to places for a short period of time that he would carry the word, or these words that had been written down to them that we have in the scripture here today. So there's several things that we need to read there, but let's go back to Jack's part of this and to look at the Koine Greek. And we just read it in the King James Version. So it says in verse 6, these things laying before the brethren, good will be served of Christ Jesus, being nourished with the words of the faith and of the good teaching which you have closely followed. And to bring it down into the more modern English, it says, good will be the servant of Jesus Christ, or Christ Jesus, laying these things before the brethren, being nourished by the word of faith and the good teachings which he have closely followed. Well, you see, when Christ was here, he blessed his food whether they asked for it or not. But now it's kind of switched around a little bit and realized that the servant of Christ Jesus, what he's laying before the brethren is the words of faith. Not food, not drink, and not whether it's been offered to idols or where it hadn't been offered to idols. Because that's been already in just a verse or two here been taken care of in those thoughts, because verse 5 said, hey, look at this and judge it. You be the judge of this. And so he's telling young Timothy, said, well, you know, what we got here now is what's going to be laid out here is going to be faith and teachings and the things of piety, the things that God says are good. Let's read it again. The servant of Christ Jesus will be good if he keeps these things before the brethren. The prospective and current servant of Christ Jesus will be strengthened by the scriptural facts and injunctions continuously brought to their attention. These are not the kind of words of the apostle. These are words of faith. They are words of good teaching, which Timothy and the body have closely followed. The emphasis is on the servant, and the nourishment is in the word. And so that's the difference between what we started out with and what we had and now what we've gotten to. So you can see a progression here in this, what, and he's really kind of sticking it to Timothy as to what needs to be done by the man of God that's doing the teaching. And so this is instructions to the one that Paul is leaving it in the hands of, basically. Okay. Let's look at the things that goes along with this. So this is good ministers and their duties. Verse 6 starts with that. That's where we've gotten to. And that's the first part of the 6 verses from chapter 4, verse 6 through verse 12. It's kind of broken down into two parts there. Okay. And it's part of what you have, what you've heard, and what you have attained. So let's go back and we'll start and go through the Jack's words, and we'll do it the way it's laid out in the Bible. And so let's go back all the way back to Genesis. And we're going to look at Genesis 47 and deal with verse 29 in respect to what we're going to read. We might start a little before that. He says, well, let's go back to 27. Israel dwelt in the land of Egypt and the country of Goshen, and they had possessions therein and grew and multiplied exceedingly. And I mean, that was a true story there. And exceedingly was very true, because they were very prolific in God had something for them to do, and they were supposed to do it. And Jacob lived in the land of Egypt 17 years. So the whole age of Jacob was 147 years. And the time grew nigh that Israel must die. And he called his son Joseph and said unto him, if now I have found grace in thy sight, put, I pray thee, thy hand under my thigh, and deal kindly and truly with me. Bury me not, I pray thee, in Egypt. But what he really wanted to do there, he said, but I will lie with my fathers, and thou shalt carry me out of Egypt, and bury me in their burying place. And he, Jacob said, I will do as thou hast said. So he made a prayer and asked his sons not to leave him in Egypt, but to get him out of Egypt, take him back to his own land that God had given to him. And so he could lie with his people there, because I guess they even understood at that time that there was a resurrection to be looked forward to. So their work wasn't done on this earth, but basically one by one their work is done whenever they passed on. So that's what Christ is going to come back for. Raise these people up and give them one that had been promised to them and they had never seen. Okay. That was Genesis 47, 28 through 30, 31. Okay. Now, we're going to jump from there in Genesis, we're going to jump to the book of Luke. And it's a pretty good little clip in scripture. Luke, what is it? We're going to look at here, Luke. Let's go to Luke 1, 3, and 4. The first chapter of Luke, verses 1, 2, 3, 4, I guess, I think it was. I'll get that in a minute. Okay. It's on page 1429, I'm sorry. And Luke, of course, was the author of the book of Acts. And Luke is the good doctor, and he wrote Luke. And so we're going to look at verses 1 through 4. It says, "For as much as many had taken in hand to set forth in order a declaration of those things which are most surely believed among us, even as they delivered them unto us, which from the beginning were eyewitnesses and ministers of the word." And he says in verse 3, "It seems good to me also, having had perfect understanding of things from the very first." And you can omit that "all" there, because the "all things" Luke didn't knew of then. The "all things" come when God chose Paul to show us the mysterion truth. So that "all" there kind of crept in, I think, because of the people putting it in there, because the "all things" that Luke knew about, what he didn't know then, but he got by the time, by the time you get to Acts 28:28, then he knew the "all things." Now, I'm not telling you to believe that. I'm just asking you to look and see. Verse 4. Well, I'll finish this up. "All things from the very first to write unto thee in order, most excellent Theophilus." And that is one that was said to be beloved of God. "That thou mightest know the certainty of these things, or words wherein thou hast been instructed." And so that's the entrance to the Gospel of Luke, which deals quite fully with the birth of Jesus Christ as coming as God's man to earth. And for us, it is, this man is our God.
Mm-hmm.
To take care of our sins. And to leave us the Holy Spirit and to give us direction for our life. Okay. So, that's Luke. So let's go back to Romans. And you don't seem to be able to go very far without getting back into Romans again. And we'll get past that Acts and get into Romans. And Romans, we're going to look at Romans 16. Romans 16, 4. And Paul is greeting some people here. He says, greet Priscilla and Aquila, my helpers in Christ Jesus, who have for my life laid down their own necks, unto whom not only I give thanks, but also all the churches of the Gentiles. Likewise, he says, greet the church that is in their house. Salute my well-beloved Epaphras, who is the first fruits of Achaia unto Christ. And so he is remembering those that had helped him and his ministry there, and to pray for him and to pray for all those that are in those groups, in those houses in those days. Now, turn with me to, let's go through Corinthians and get into Galatians. In Galatians 1:10, is where we're going to look next. That's on page 1749. And it said, I want to look at 7 there and start with 7 because this is part of the situation that needed to be understood when Paul wrote 1 Timothy. In verse 7 he says, which is talking about another gospel. And he says, which is not another, but there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. Well, this is that iniquity thing that's how Satan works. He's going to try to do his best to pervert the word of God into something different, which is, turns out to be lies. But it says, even if or though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you, that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. As we said before, so say I now again, if any man preach any other gospel unto you that you have received than that you have received, let him be accursed. For do I now persuade men or God? He says, who am I talking to here, men or God? He's talking to men because he gave them the opportunity to make these judgments as to whether this is God's word or man's word. For do I now persuade men or God, or do I seek to please men? For if I yet please men, I should not be the servant of Christ. He said, but I certify. This certify is to guarantee, in a sense. You know, if you certify something, you're saying this is the real McCoy.
Testifying to it, yeah.
It's a true testification. But I certify you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached of me is not after man. For I neither received it of man, neither was I taught it, but by the revelation of Jesus Christ. Amen. So he is making and putting his mark on this. And he's the word here, and certainly Paul knew the word, so I would assume that Timothy probably come to this or had this understanding already anyway. So that's Galatians. We want to go to Galatians to Philippians. And it's kind of funny that we would go from Galatians to Philippians, that we would just jump over Ephesians, but here we go. Philippians 1:1. Philippians 1:1. So it's pretty standard work here, but you see how Jack laid his out. Paul says in Philippians 1:1 on page 1773, Paul and Timotheus, the servants of Jesus Christ, to all the saints in Christ Jesus, which are at Philippi, with the bishops and deacons. Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. This is what he's asking for, to be an asking and saying, I am asking for grace for you from the Father God and the Lord Jesus Christ. And he says, I thank my God upon every remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine for you all, making request with joy. With joy. And that joy is that piety or piety that is shown in the things that God called good. And as further we get into this part of the study, it will start showing up in a little different sense there. But that's very good. Very good to do it that way now. Okay. We're going to go from Philippians to Colossians 1:7. So we actually passed over Ephesians in this particular aspect. And we're going to look at Colossians 1:7, and that's on page 1781. And Colossians was written to those at Colossae that Paul didn't go to in the, remember, he wasn't there before them face to face, but he sent this to them. So it says, verse 4 says, since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of the love which you have to all the saints for the hope which is laid up for you in heaven, whereof you heard before in the word of truth in the gospel, which is come unto you as it is in all the world, and bringeth forth fruit, as it doth also in you, since the day you've heard it, and knew the grace of God in truth. As you also learned of Epaphras, our dear fellow servant, who is for you a faithful minister of Christ, who also declared unto us your love in the Spirit. And he says, for this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to desire that you might be filled with all the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. That is the piety there that you are supposed to show to the world that do not know the wisdom of God and what he wants.
Amen.
Okay? Now, let's go to 2 Timothy. I guess we're running out of time, but we ain't got 2 or 3 more to go.
9:27.
2 Timothy 1:13 on page 1810. 1:13 in 2 Timothy 13:10 says this, hold fast the former sound words which you have heard of me in faith and love which is in Christ Jesus. that good thing which was committed unto thee, keep by the Holy Ghost which dwelleth in us. This thou knowest, that all they which are in Asia be turned away from me, of whom are Phygellus and Hermogenes. And the Lord give mercy unto the household of Onesiphorus, for he oft refreshed me and was not ashamed of my chain. But when he was in Rome, he sought me out very diligently and found me. And the Lord grant unto him that he may find mercy of the Lord in that day, and how many things he ministered unto me at Ephesus, thou knowest very well. So, he was telling again Timothy about all the things that he, had gotten from the Lord by, prayer and these things went. Turn with me to page to chapter 3. Let's look at verse 10. And it carries on there in verse 10, in 3:10. And it says, but thou hast fully known my doctrine, manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, charity, patience, persecutions, afflictions, which came to me at Antioch and Iconium and Lystra. What persecutions I endured, but out of them all, the Lord delivered me. So, it was necessary that Timothy to tell Timothy, to Paul to tell Timothy that. Got one more. Go with me to Hebrews chapter 5 for just a minute. Hebrews 5, and we're going to look at 12 through 14. Well, he's talking, and Paul here is talking to these young people that come through the 40-year journey, or at least part of the 40-year journey, through the wilderness. And he says in verse 11, of whom we have many things to say, and hard to be uttered, seeing ye are dull of hearing. For when for the time ye ought to be teachers, ye have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and are become such as having need of milk and not of strong meat. For every one that uses milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a baby. And Paul says, be strong, but strong meat belongeth to them that are of full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. So this whole basic study here in the fourth chapter of 1 Timothy is the study of good and evil and what you can use for good to overcome that evil. This is what we talked about here now for an hour. And we're just getting started. But you see, how much groundwork did Jack went into to lay out all the scripture for us that we could understand and kind of get a picture of where we were. And that we went all the way back to Genesis to start with and to come down through these epistles that we have that was written to get an understanding. And here in the end, he's telling these young people, boy, you don't know how to teach. But This is the main ingredient of doing away with these lies and things that Satan has brought forth, that you need to get with the, you need to get with the business. You need to leave the milk behind and get into the meat of the word. And he didn't have much. He knew even then that his time was growing short on this earth. And so he was telling his young people, boy, I'm here now. I want you to listen to me, because that, this is the part of the whole plan and purpose of this whole thing. So I hope that, you know, that we laid it out in a kind of a way that, you know, that, that we get the picture of what's being said here to young Timothy, and what's being re-shown to him, if he didn't already know, to get things in order, regardless of where you were at the time in those years after Christ was come and gone. And of course, we went all the way back to Genesis, which Christ had not been there. And of course, the progression from there down to where we are now in the book here. So I hope it become a little more apparent to us that if we're going to get involved in this work, we're going to get involved in this fight. And it is a fight. It's a battle. It's a war. Because it's between God and Satan, but we're encapsulated in it too. That we can do our part, and that this word, and our part would be what God considers to be holy, right, and true. And that in the end, it's going to prevail. Amen. Because he is the author of all these things. And we're put here to do a job. You know, this is part of our work here. Our testimony is a testimony for God, and that's first and foremost in all of this, and that we do it the way that the Lord would have it done through the leadership of the Holy Spirit. Thank you so much for being with us.